Digital Mister! Hey, what I say, sir? Yeah, yeah. No. Yeah. Get your hands in the air, sir! Woo! Yeah. Then you will get no hurt, mister. No. I said, yeah.
Connection with the host, Pastor Rowan Cameron. And we are coming to you from the foot of the Bullet Mountain in a little district called Turtle Pond. Bullet Mountain is the center of Jamaica geographically. So if you go from Moran Point to Negril Point, Bullet Mountain is at the center. And if you go from Discovery Bay to Rocky Point, Bullet is at the center. And it is located in the parish of Clarinda. So wherever you are this evening, we say, hello world. And we say, Eternal Father, bless our land. Guard us with thy mighty and keep us free from evil powers. Be our light through countless hours. To our leaders, great defender, grant you wisdom from above. Justice should be ours forever. Jamaica, land we love. Teach us true respect for all. Stir response to duty call. Strengthen us that we should cherish. Give us vision, lest we perish. Knowledge sent us, Heavenly Father. Grant you wisdom from above. Justice should be yours forever. Jamaica, land we love. And truly, we're giving our Maker praise and honor because our athletes just came back from the IAAF World Championship Games in Doha. And Jamaica did exploits both in track and field in Doha. Jamaica won 3 gold medals, 5 silver medals, and 4 bronze medals, making a total of 12 medals. 12 medals we won in Doha. And that put us at number 3 out of 213 countries that participated in Doha in the IAAF World Championship Games. Jamaica was number 3 on the medal list. And we give Almighty God all the praise and the honor and the glory. We have Gail and Fraser and the woman 4x100, they took home the gold. Dakers took home the silver for the discus. The men also won the 4x4. Ricketts won the triple jump. Thompson did the shot put. And the mixed relay with both men and women, they won the silver. That make it a total of 5 silver. In the bronze category, Jackson won the 400 meters. He came 3rd. Williams came 3rd in the hurdles, the 100 meters hurdle. Clayton came 4. And Clayton came bronze in the 400 meter hurdle. And the woman, or woman 4x4, they also got a bronze medal. So we are excited. And now we are showing that Jamaica is not just the sprint factory, but also we are taking over the field events also as we continue to celebrate the goodness of our Master. It was Christopher Columbus when he landed in Jay Harbor. His remarks was, "It is the fairest isles his eyes have ever beheld." But today we can say, "Welcome to Jamrock, wherever you are." As we continue to trust in our Maker for his goodness and his blessing. My guest this evening will be Pastor Jen. Good evening, Pastor Jen. How are you doing? Pastor Jen, are you hearing me?
Hearing you. Can you not hear me?
Yes, I'm just hearing you now, Pastor Jen. How are you doing?
I am doing well. Thank you, Pastor Cameron, for asking. Missed you last time, but nonetheless, you were always in thought. Good to hear you. Good evening, Jamaica. Welcome. God bless. And I truly give thanks to be on one more time. I do not take this opportunity lightly. And I just give God thanks and praise for what he is doing with the Clarendon connection. It is 11
yes,
degrees here.
As we continue to touch lives with the gospel, with the good news, because that's what the world needs in a frustrated world today, in a world where men and women are getting confused and do not know their identity. When Jesus came, he said, "I am the way,
the truth,
and the life. No man come to the Father but by me." We are running a series now where we are trying to expose some of the characteristics of Satan, because the world need to know that a devil is on the loose out there. And if we are not careful, if what I want to tell people, if you do not know him and know his way, it is hard for you to defeat him.
Yes, that is so true.
But when you know your enemy, you can strategize your plan.
Yes.
You can move and speak with precision.
Yes.
Because you can't afford to hit and miss. You got to make an impact.
Yes.
You have to make an impact, and that is why we have to know what the word says. Because when Jesus was in the wilderness, when the enemy came to him, Satan himself came to him and challenged him, said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." His first reply was, "Man shall not live by bread alone."
Amen.
"But by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God."
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. That is so true. And this is what he requires of us, that we know the word. Because it is the word that is going to keep us. The word of God says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I shall not sin against thee." And how do we keep the word in our hearts? We have to be in his presence every day. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to be sitting down or kneeling before him 24 hours a day physically. But in the spirit, this is what we need to do. We need to always abide in him so that he can abide in us. Because once we take our eyes off the cross, because everything comes back to the cross, once we take our eyes off the cross, the flesh begins to take over. Hence our limitation. So like you said, we have to be able to strategize, and the spirit of discernment is so important in these times. I think the body of Christ needs to pray and intercede and press into God for the spirit of discernment to be in full operation in the church, because we can't survive this warfare without the spirit of discernment. It has got to be at the forefront of everything that we do. It has got to be first on the agenda. We just have to be up there. So, we have to pay attention.
But that is why the Apostle Paul says, you know, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. But we wrestle against principalities and power. So the spirit of discernment is what you're gonna use to know the difference between flesh and blood and principalities and powers and the spirit of Almighty God. You're gonna need the spirit of discernment.
Yes, you're gonna need the spirit of discernment. It must be in operation. Must be. We can't survive without that spirit of discernment. And the church is so lacking that because, you know, people have just become so complacent these days in the body of Christ, you know, thinking that it's a party. It's not a party. It's a warfare. We've been called to war. And war we must. You know, we've been recruited in the army of God. And because we have been recruited in the army of God, then it means that we have to stand our position. And our position has got to be full and center in the presence of Almighty God. Else we cannot. We have so many things at stake. We have the lives of our children at stake. We have the lives of our husbands and our wives at stake. We have the lives of our mothers and fathers at stake. We have the life of the nation at stake. Nations around the world at stake. We have missiles that are in position right now to go off. And if the body of Christ is not discerning of these things, if we're not going before God and say, "God, what is on your agenda? Put it on my agenda so I know how to pray, so the church knows how to pray, so the prayer group knows how to pray." These missiles are on cock. They're ready to go off. to be sent a stage, to be fired into countries, into communities, and we have to be able to stand up and stand between these missiles, these warheads, and say, not today, not tomorrow, not next week, because God has given us the authority to intercept and to abort all these things. Because we're talking about the plan of the enemy is to wipe out creation so that man will not see the face of Almighty God. So the spirit of discernment is so, so crucial. It is so vital. It is so important that it is not funny. The pastor is standing in the pulpit. We've got to be able to see the different spirits that are surrounding him or her while the word is going forth, because the spirit is wanting to tie up that person so that the word cannot be released. So we've got to know that we have to press in while they're standing up there. While the choir is going, we've got to press in for them. We have to have boiler rooms where people are constantly praying and interceding for the body of Christ, for God's people. We have to have people sitting and standing on the wall. You have to have these watchmen, Pastor Cameron. So it is so important that for us to know where we are in the body of Christ and to know our position.
And that is why, Pastor Jen, it is important that we, as the Apostle Paul tells us in the same Ephesians 6, where he said, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. No, truth is critical. Because the enemy does not like the truth. See, the enemy is a deceiver, a cunning fellow. And as long as he can get the chance to twist the words, he started out, it was in the Garden of Eden then where he said to Eve, "Thou shalt." Did God really say that? "Thou shalt not surely die." You see, just putting one little word in there, not, and just twist up the whole thing. And so we have to be careful to know what the word says. He goes back again, and when he tempts Jesus, he said, "For he shall give his angel charge over thee." He twists the word again. So that is why it is important, as we do as the Apostle Paul says, study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God that need not to be ashamed, rightly divided the word of truth. And that is why you have so many denominations spring up, and they all have a piece of the word, and they twist it.
Yes.
You see, they are not rightly dividing the word.
Yes.
So the Catholic will come and say, "It is all right, you can go to Father and pray to Father, and Father has the power, the Pope has the power to forgive sins." That is a lie from hell. You have the Jehovah's Witness there. They are going on and say, "Oh, Jesus, he was a good man," but that's all he is. No. We got to stand on the authority of God's word, and we believe that he came to this earth in flesh. He crucified. He's risen from the dead. And he's sitting on the right hand of God in power, and he's coming back with his hands for reward to pay every man according as his work shall be.
Jesus, my God, and that is so true.
We have to know the word so that we can give it out to people who understand and need the word. Because listen to what he says. Listen to what he says. "My word shall not come back unto me void, but it shall accomplish and it shall prosper anything whereunto I sent it."
Yes. So the word must be delivered.
The word is the key.
The word must be delivered. It cannot come back. And this is why John admonishes us that we have to test every spirit, because not every spirit is of God. And the church is missing this. The church, the devil has got the church as a puppet, I'm telling you, because you have people coming from all over, the false prophets. "Oh, I'm of God, I'm of God." And they come with miracles. When Moses went into Egypt, Oh, my God, the magicians, they brought out their stuff, and they were able to perform their magic. So this is why the Holy Spirit has got to be present in the church. The Holy Spirit has got to be present in one's life. The discerning spirit has got to be present to say, this is not of God. Because people are getting their powers. These people who are coming in, they're getting their powers from all over. They're getting their powers from the water spirit. They're getting their powers from, oh my God, the whole council with different types of spirit. And they're getting their powers. And when they come in the church, they darken the eyes of the people because the people do not want God. They want to see the miracles. This is what they were following Jesus said. Jesus for. And Jesus said, yes, the miracles are good, but I cannot forget why I came. Why I came is to preach the gospel. I must save lives. Lives must be saved. People don't want this no more. They want to see the signs. They want to see the wonders. And yes, like I said, the signs and the wonders are good, but we have got to preach salvation. We have got to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The cross, we have to keep going back to the cross every time. And unfortunately, the body of Christ is missing this. The body of Christ doesn't want this. So God is like is just weeping for His people. We have moved to the spirit of bribery. Exodus 23 tells us this. We can't. The spirit of greed, the spirit of mammon. We have got to be careful as pastors, bishops, elders, ministers, not to be caught up with the spirit of bribery, because the spirit of bribery will lead us away from the...
Hold on, Pastor Jen. As you talk about the spirit of bribery, I am looking now at the 7 o'clock news in Jamaica. And the former minister of education, and the president of the Caribbean Maritime University, they are just being taken into custody.
My God.
They are just, that is Royal Reed and Fitz, Mr. Professor Fitzpinnock. They are just now being taken into custody on these same corruption charges. As you are speaking, it is taking place on the news.
Jesus. My God.
A national television in Jamaica, former minister of education.
I'm telling you.
And the president of the Caribbean Maritime University, his name is Professor Fitzpinnock. They are taken into custody.
I'm telling you, this is a wicked spirit. A wicked spirit, and this is a spirit that has taken over God's people. It has taken over government. It has taken over every facet of our society. And the church, I'm telling you, the church has hopped onto the bandwagon. And I'm telling you, this is one of the things that I'm noticing that is plaguing the body of Christ. And once it hits the pulpit, Pastor Cameron, it trickles down to the members in the church, the pew, because once the head is messy, then the body becomes filthy just the same way. And so everybody is moving away from the presence of God, because, listen, I watch these things all the time. You have these big men, these names, these television evangelists. When they come into Toronto, they're not coming in. If you call them in, they're not coming in unless you can pay them $100,000 to come and preach over a couple of days. You got to put them into some fancy hotels. When they come in to do a conference, they're telling you they're charging you $75, $80, Canadian dollars, ahead, $100 for you to show up at some of these big places to listen to them. I'm telling you, it's a money-making affair, and God is not happy about this thing, because I'm telling you, it is robbing the body of Christ. It is taking away from the message, the cross and Him crucified. I have to come back to that every time. The cross.
Hold on, Sister Jen. I am getting excited on this side, because there are some texts coming in of people who are listening. I want to give a special shout out to Maryland. Maryland is listening to the Canon Connection as we speak, and she said She's hearing the Canadian connection loud and clear. Canada is listening. And we just give God all the praise and the honor and glory. Hold
Amen.
On, Sister Jan. I'm getting also a text. I am getting also a text also from Japan. So Japan is listening in. And I know Cayman is listening in. So this is why Jesus said, go into all the world and preach
the
gospel. We have a mission. We are mandated by Almighty God to let the world
Amen.
Know that He is Lord.
He's Lord. He's ruler. He is Lord and He is ruler. And this is why we have so many people sitting on the outside, because when they look at us as Christians, as when they look at us, I like to use the word as overcomers, they are looking at us and saying, no, if this is what these people are professing, I don't want to be a member of the body of Christ. Christ didn't come to come preach about money. When I check the word, money is mentioned in the Bible about 2,600 times. So it tells me that Jesus mentions money that amount of time for a specific reason. The rich ruler could not enter heaven, because when Jesus said, go sell what you have and come, give it to the poor, he had enough that he could make that money back over and over. He was saddened by this. So this is the thing that is holding the body of Christ hostage. Money, money, money. It is holding the body of Christ hostage. You have some people in the church, I'm telling you, Pastor Cameron, they've gotten themselves mixed up in so many different underhanded, shady things that it is not funny. And they can't hear from God, because guess what? God has cut himself off from them, because listen to me, I'm a firm believer that God can give us anything that we need. Anything that we need is just a clean hand and a pure heart. This is who will see God. And if our hands are not clean, this is why I made sure and he anointed the hands of he put the blood on the hands of Aaron when he anointed him. He put it on his feet and said, listen to me, you can't go any and anywhere. Your hands cannot touch any and anything if your hands are handling the things that belong to the body of Christ. He sanctified all the vessels of the tabernacle, because everything of the tabernacle had to be holy. And God says, if you touch anything that is outside, that is against the will of God, you have to answer to me. So when God anoints us and puts us in the pulpit, some of us think that it is a joke, but it is not a joke. It's a serious thing. Our hands is what blesses and curses. When Jesus said to Abraham, pronounce the Abrahamic blessing. This is, I think, in Numbers 6. By the time over the children of Israel, God knew what was going to happen. And by the time we get to Numbers 23 and 24 there, hence came Balaam. And what did he do? He solicited Balaam to come and curse the body of Christ. They were in formation. Their formation represented the cross. If you look at it, it's the cross you were looking at. And to the four corners that he took them, he could not curse them. He said, I don't know where you come from, and I can't do this. But who God blesses, no man curse. God knew it, that it was going to happen. So we have to understand that we're standing as God's representative, and we must keep our hands clean. We must keep our feet clean. He says, be careful what you look at, because what you look at will contaminate the eyes, because the eyes are the seat of the soul. I use your eyes to show you what is happening in the realm of the spirit. If your eyes are contaminated, I cannot touch your eyes. Your five senses, they must be clear. They must be in tune with me.
So let us spend some more time. Pastor Jen, let us highlight another point on the eyes, because because you see, what the world is also using, if you notice these television ads, every ad actually has to do with a sexy woman. So it is appealing to the eyes. No. What happened in Genesis? Genesis says, when the woman saw the fruit, that it was good for food. So the devil not only talked, he manipulated her eyes That's because she was in the garden every day and she saw the fruit. But when the devil had his thing to eat, the Bible said when she saw the fruit.
Yes.
And that's what it is. So it is important at all times that we keep our eyes sanctified.
Yes. Guarded.
Let me read to you. Let me read the text to you. Let me read the text to you in Genesis chapter 3. It says, Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. It says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes,
uh-huh.
and a tree desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave her son to her husband with her, and he did eat.
My God.
So the same tree, the same tree that she was looking at every day, now that the devil has spoken, she's now seeing the same tree in a different dimension. And that is why the child of God has to stay in the word of God, or else you can easily get sidetracked. Your eyes got to be fixed on the master.
Amen.
Keep your eyes upon Jesus.
Amen.
It is important. It is important
Amen.
That you keep your eyes upon the master and do not get distracted, because if you get distracted, your life will become contaminated.
Yes.
And they that be vessels of the Lord, they must be clean.
Yes.
No wonder the psalmist says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. The word is what, and that's what we started out. The word is what we need to let this generation know. It is important.
My God. I tell you something. When I read this text, the same Genesis 3, I'm looking deep into the realm of the spirit, because this was not just Eve's physical eyes, but it was her spiritual eyes, because the enemy, over time, the enemy came, and the enemy spoke into her spirit, so her spirit was fully saturated with the words that the enemy was using to her, and the enemy tapped into her five senses. God gave us these five senses for a reason. And we have to understand how to utilize these five senses, because these five senses represent the spirit of Almighty God. And if we are not careful, when these five senses become contaminated, we're done for. So as a Christian, as an overcomer, we have to always make sure that These five senses are cleansed and renewed every day. And this is where the spirit of humility comes in, because the spirit of humility is the opposite of pride. And if we're not taking on the spirit of humility every day as we go before God, then we're going to lose our way. And like you say, we always have to be in the presence of Almighty God, because that is where we're going to find him. That's where we're going to find him. And I just love this. I love the fact that he created us with free will. I love the fact that I know that I can make the choice to choose to serve the master. I love the fact that I know that I can go before him knowing that I have chosen today to stand before his presence. And I tell you something, you know, sometimes people tend to think that, you know, it's an easy walk. It's not an easy walk, because people sometimes forget. And this is how we know that we really and truly have to work hard to educate the body of Christ. It is not the flesh that is saved, but it is the spirit man. And because the spirit man is the one that is saved, the flesh is always at war with the spirit man, because the flesh represents the devil, and the devil is going to always try to fight us to give up the renewed man and go back to the old man.
All right. Hear what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10, I'm reading from verse 3. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh.
No.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring it into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. So this is a warfare, Pastor Jen, but you also have to know your weapon that you're using.
Absolutely.
You got to know the weapon that you're using.
Yes.
And not only that, when you go into a warfare, you got to be fully armored.
Yes.
To be fully armored. So and if you go back to Ephesians 6 now, the Apostle Paul talks about the helmet of salvation.
Yes. It must be fully armed.
The breastplate of righteousness.
Yes.
The feet shod in the preparation of the gospel of peace. The shield of faith, which is important. Because the shield of faith quenched the fiery darts of the wicked.
Yes.
But he was not finished yet. He talks about the offensive weapon. He talks about the sword of the Spirit. And he makes sure he emphasizes on this one. He says, which is
the word of God. Yes.
So in this warfare, Pastor Jen, you got to know what the word says and when to use it. Because the term that we learned in Bible school, it is called exegesis. And there's another term, it's a Greek word, it is known as ICG. So we got to know we got to pull the meaning from the scripture, not put what we think in it.
Yes.
You got to learn to pull the meaning from the scripture. You know, when you're pulling something out of the ground, that's how you got to see the word. You're pulling something that when you let it out, it's going to be devastating. We have the weapons of mass destruction.
Yes.
It is the word of God.
Yes.
Now we got to know how and when and where and why we are using it.
Critical. Amen. Very crucial. Very, very crucial. Very, very crucial. And this is where the revelatory knowledge comes in. I like to call it the extra biblical, the one that you know you can't get unless you're going into the Word. Once you go into the Word, this is what God will download. It's not physically there, but you know that when God give it to you, you can match it up with the Word of God. And this is the thing, the enemy doesn't want us to get into the Word, so he makes us busy. He creates busyness for us. We're busy with the husband, we're busy with the church, we're busy with family, we're busy with grocery shopping, we're busy with laundry, we're just plain busy, and we don't have any time to go in the Word of God. But we have to carve out a time for ourselves and God, so that we can get before his presence, because it doesn't matter how busy we get. And sometimes, Pastor Cameron, what I notice is that the body of Christ can get so busy doing the things of God, and we feel like we're accomplishing some stuff, but we are not busy in the presence of God. We're busy with the things of God. We're busy serving the church. We're busy running here, visiting this person, praying with this person, doing this, doing that. But we're not in the presence of God. Because if we're not in the presence of God, we cannot hear from him. We need to take time on a one-on-one, because this presence of God is like a love affair between the wife and the husband. God needs to be caressed. He needs to be told how much I love him. He needs to hear me say it and say it over and over on a one-on-one basis. Not in the crowd, because that's a different kind of worship.
foremost, and then we can go worship with the other folks. But if we're not having this one-on-one worship, we're dying, and we're dying slowly. And this is what is happening.
That's why, Pastor Jen. That's why, Pastor Jen, David now comes into play. Because you may wonder, say, how could David be a murderer? How could he was a poor father. He has done so many things, but yet still God called him a man after my own heart. You know why? David was the one who spent intimate moments with his master. He was not afraid of taking care of sheep all by himself, because he know this is the time between this was his love moment with his God, and that's why he wrote in the Psalms. He wrote the Psalms when he says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show it is under." These are the results of spending time with your Maker. You want to say you can take the whole world, but give me Jesus. We're talking about intimate moments with the Master, like when Moses went up in the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, but when he came down, there was so much evidence of his intimacy that the Bible says they have to put a veil over his face. We need to have those intimate moments with our Master, where we can go back with ourselves and just declare unto him, "I will bless the Lord, Lord. Heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee."
Yes.
Time for intimacy.
This is why David could write so many love letters, because I call the Psalms love letters. When he cried out to God, I said, "Lord," Psalm 51, "let the broken bones sing again, let them come to life," after he sinned with Bathsheba. I mean, David could have said, when the prophet Nathan went to him, he could have said, "Listen to me, that's not me." He could have hid it. But once the prophet said to him, "Thou art the man, David," he went in repentance. Oh, my God in heaven, Jesus. I just love this man. And you know what? God chose him. God chose him because God knew that he could get the best out of him. Because here we are today. And when we get into our moments, when we are oppressed, when we are depressed, when we don't feel it, when we don't know where we're going, we can turn to the psalm and we can cry out just the same way David cried out unto God and get answers. Oh, my God, I just love this. I love David, I'm telling you. I just love the work that he came to do. I love the way he did it. I love the man's heart. The man had a heart, like I said, the heart of God. God gave him that heart. And the man was a worshiper. He understood what it meant to be in the presence of Almighty God. The camera that we're here.
Side. tuned to the Clarendon Connection. And Pastor, Minister, it seems if Pastor Cameron may have dropped off the line. So you've got about 12 minutes to go for the rest of the show. So you're going to have to take it from here and close it out.
Okay, with whom am I speaking?
I'm the engineer, Hopton Brown. I'm the engineer, so I'm engineering the show. And it looks like Pastor, hi, how are you? So, I mean, you were doing excellent until you noticed that he wasn't there. So just pretend he's still there. And I've been enjoying it on the outside, listening in. So you're doing an excellent job. So don't stop now. You still got a couple of minutes to continue from where you were giving that powerful message.
Okay. Thank you. Radio Land, as you can hear, I'm the only one that's online, but I just want to give thanks to God tonight, and I just want to praise him. People of God, we just need to seek God. We need to seek him. He says, when you seek him with all your heart, you shall surely find him. And God is a spirit, and he says, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And that's the only way we're going to get anything from the presence of Almighty God. We have got to stay in the presence of Almighty God day and night. And when we stay in the presence of Almighty God day and night, the enemy cannot touch our children. The enemy cannot touch our finances. The enemy cannot touch our bodies. Yes, there are times when sickness and disease will take over our bodies. But let me tell you something. Paul says, though the outer man is decaying daily, the inner man is being renewed day by day. So what we're seeing, he says, this is a light affliction to what is to come, because this mortal must take on immortality. Sin because of sin. The first Adam had to die so that the second Adam, Jesus Christ, would come and take the place of the second Adam. And because the second Adam came, we have been redeemed. We have been washed. We have been blood bought. Jesus Christ came and paid a price, and the price was dear. And that price, the blood is still efficacious. The blood is still out here in planet Earth. The blood has penetrated the seas. The blood has penetrated the land. When we say yes, the blood just comes into us, and the blood just saturates us, and the blood just changes us. The blood transforms us. This blood is still alive. This blood continues to flow. This blood is still effective. This blood changes the mind. Philippians 2:5 says, and I'm out here in Radio Land, I would encourage everyone to speak this over your life every day, because it's the mind of Christ. It's the mind of the children of God that the enemy wants. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. When we claim that every day and walk around and speak it out, the enemy cannot touch your mind, because guess what? You've been transformed and you've been renewed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, had he been able to touch the mind of Jesus, then the cross would have been null and void. But when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he brought his three in the inner circle with him, and he says, come, he didn't even ask them to pray. He says, come watch with me. And what, every time he left and he went back and he came back, they were asleep. And he says, could you not watch with me for an hour? Jesus said, my soul sorroweth unto death. What was happening out there in Radio Land? Let me explain something to you. Jesus was under oppression. He was depressed. Jesus came under attack from principalities and all the forces of darkness, because darkness overshadowed him in a way. We're talking about the Son of Man now. Darkness overshadowed him in a way, because darkness saw that the daybreak was about to launch. And once daybreak came, they had no power over him. And so the heavenlies, there was a battle in the heavenlies for the spirit of Almighty God to be defeated, Jesus to be defeated, and say, no, I can't go. He says, Father, remember he cried out, and he says, Father, I don't want to go and take up this cross. He says, when I look at the cross, I see fornication, I see adultery, I see murder, I see incest, I see rape, I see all sorts of atrocity, I see bribery, I see homelessness, I see, oh my God, so many things that it's not funny. And he says, I'm too holy for this. I can't.
a garment. Sin was about to take him over. But he says, not my will, Father, but your will must be done. Because he relinquished his will when he decided to leave heaven and come to earth. And when he was in the garden, he was oppressed. He was depressed. The enemy wanted the Son of Man to commit suicide. But the angel stood up with Jesus, the Holy Ghost. This is why he was in the garden. The garden represents, Gethsemane represents pressed oil. And the Holy Ghost pressed into him. And he was able to stand up with him. This is why we need the Holy Ghost in these days. We need the Holy Ghost to carry us through. It was the Holy Ghost who brought him through. The disciples, listen to me, the disciples couldn't come to his aid because then it would have been registered in the book of the Bible to say that it was disciples who prayed him through. It was not the disciples because the disciples' eyes were darkened. This is why the Word of God says, their eyes were heavy with sleep, but it says, sleep on and take the rest. Because it was not time for them, O God Almighty, to stand up and to do battle yet. Because Jesus Christ was never ascended to his Father as yet. So, children of God, what am I saying tonight? Jesus paid the price for us. He paid the price for your children. He paid the price for your husband.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Jane,
my
I'm
God,
back on.
It's under attack.
I am back on.
Come in,
hear me,
come in,
Pastor
God.
Jane.
Come in.
The enemy,
I'm going to hand it back
enemy,
over to you.
The enemy is
yes,
trying to derail God's program, but you see,
amen.
The Bible says, those who are so know, you are so predestinate. We are predestinated to bring the God.
Oh, my God.
And we can declare, Isaiah 54:17 tonight, no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper.
Come on now. Yes.
We have the weapon. God has given us the ability to fight, the Apostle Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. And we must, and this is where the body of Christ now need to be in a militant mood.
Yes.
We have to be in a militant mood. We can't lay down. We can't lay down. That's why Peter said, we must submit ourselves to God. Because with all of this, if there is no submission, you're wasting your time.
Yes.
It calls for, and I'm not talking about partial submission. I am talking about total surrender.
My God.
Where we can say, when we can say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. When your spirit speak to me, with my whole heart I agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes.
Yes.
We have to go back and say like the writer, all to Jesus I surrender. He wants us, listen to what he says in Isaiah. If he be willing and obedient, you will eat the fat of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, and that is why we haven't covered more ground, because anytime disobedience steps in, I tell you, Bible talks about it is worse than the sin of witchcraft. To obey is better than to sacrifice, and this is where the church has fallen down big time. Our flesh is not obedient to the calling and the will of Almighty God. That's why Romans 12 is important. Present your bodies, living sacrifice.
Thank you, Jesus.
Holy and acceptable unto God. Because we got to emphasize the importance of sacrifice. When you're on the altar, if all of you is laid on the altar of sacrifice, you do what the Lord says, not what you feel like.
Many times,
and a classical example of that is Moses. God said to Moses, Moses, speak to this rock, Moses. Those people, they want water. Speak to this rock, Moses. And Moses, out of being angry, he wasn't able to control himself, exercise self-control. The Bible talks about fruit of the Spirit, which is temperance. Moses, instead of he speaking to the rock, he strike the rock And then on top of that, he calls the children of God rebels. So it is important we talk about obedience to the word of God, not what we feel like, not obedience to the flesh. Because Paul tells us that, you know, we have to mortify the flesh. In other words, you have to put the flesh aside. To be obedient, you have to put your flesh aside. And Jesus, when he came into the garden, he realized that he had to put his flesh aside. And that was why he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And these, the word of God is what is needed for the world today. Because Pastor Jen, this world is loaded with superstition, astrologers, witchcraft, warmongers, sorcerers, lesbians, gays, transgender, all type of stuff are in this world today. And the only thing that can stand predominant is the word of God.
Amen. Amen.
And that is the note that we want to close off on tonight in the Clarendon Connection.
Yes.
Because as John says, in the beginning was the Word.
And the Word?
And the Word was with God.
And the Word was God.
So we are speaking life tonight.
Yes.
We are speaking life tonight.
Thank you, Father.
Because we are clean. We are clean through the words. That means the word must be in us. And we got to say as what David said, the word shall be a lamp unto my feet.
And a light.
And a light unto my path. This is the Clarendon Connection. I want to thank the Pastor Jen tonight again.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
And
it's a pleasure all the time.
And we continue to trust in our maker.
Amen.
And we want to say a big shout out to Dr. Eve and the man HB in the studio and Dr. Pam.
Amen.
And all the rest
Amen.
Of guests who have been on the Clarendon Connection to make this a great show. And all our listeners from all over the world. This is Pastor Cameron.
Good night, everybody.
Signing out to the Clarendon Connection.
God bless. I cover
God
you all
bless,
under
God
the
bless.
Blood. Good night.
Amen.